Well, thank you so much, Pastor Weaver, for the opportunity to be here. And we are excited about being in your church this week. I hope you'll make plans to be for each one of the special services. And we're very thankful to be here on Veterans Day as well. And I want to talk a little bit about that. But before I do, I want to mention a couple things. First of all, this is absolutely a beautiful auditorium. And I really mean that. You ought to thank God for what He has given you in way of facilities. And that is a scary picture right there. Whoa. I remember those days. That's why I left Pensacola. No. Whoa, man. Woo. That's tough. I got to watch that through the whole message, huh? Okay. But anyways, you got a beautiful auditorium except for your picture in the back. Okay, that's great. The second thing I want to tell you, I noticed something in your bulletin. And that is that your Sunday school attendance and your church attendance is as close as I've ever seen in any church. And I want to tell you, the Lord takes note of that. And thank you for attending Sunday school. And that is great. I was very impressed with that. When I was looking at the bulletin, I thought, wow, their Sunday school attendance and their Sunday morning worship attendance is almost the same. And Pastor, that says a lot. That really does. It says a lot about the people. It says about your dedication to the Lord as well. Let me talk to you a little bit about the coming nights. And that I hope that you make plans and clear your, you're that type of people, you make those kind of commitments. Tonight, this year, you have a theme on prayer. And we're going to hook on to that tonight. I'm going to give you what I consider to be the most important word in the entire Bible on prayer. You know what word that is? You know what word that is? You come tonight and you'll find that out. Come tonight and find out what the most important word in the entire Bible is on prayer. And I'm going to tell you something. It's going to change your prayer life. And you will be glad that you came. Now, how many of you like mysteries? You like a good mystery? You like a good mystery? Monday night is mystery night. Monday night, we're going to give a biblical mystery about an individual in the Bible that I guarantee you do not know who this person is. But we're going to study it all the way out, and when you find out who this person is, you're going to go, oh, wow, that is amazing. He is a portrait of bitterness, and we're going to study an individual on Monday night, and we're going to follow it all the way through the Scripture, and you are going to go, that was the coolest thing in the world. I cannot believe who that is. And that'll be Monday night. Tuesday's going to be exciting because I have no idea what I'm preaching Tuesday night. So that's going to be exciting. And I'm going to practice my prayer thing tonight so that I'll know what to preach on Tuesday night, all right? So I don't know what's happening Tuesday night. I have no idea what Brother Gibbs III is going to be preaching on. But tonight, the most important word in the Bible on prayer, Monday night, Lord willing, a message, a mystery message that you will not want to miss. I'm telling you, you come Monday night, you're going to say, that was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in the Scriptures. And that's going to be Monday night. Tuesday, we don't know yet. So that'll be good. Now, I'll tell you the title of my message. And this is for our veterans today. The title of my message is, Who Protects the Protectors? Who protects the protectors? Now, today we are honoring the veterans. And matter of fact, I'm going to ask you to stand again in just a moment. And we are honoring our veterans today, and we are thankful for you and what you have. You know what? There is just no way we can understand. As we're going through so many struggles in our country, but you got to admit, there is no place on planet Earth that I'd rather live than the United States of America. And these veterans have made it so that I can say what I just said. These veterans have protected us. And whether it was during a time of combat, men and women, or whether it was in a time of peace, it does not matter. You made the commitment that it could have been your life, and you decided to protect us. But I want to tell you this. Veterans, I think that they have honored you very well in this church today. But I really tell you what I really want to honor today. I really want to honor the one who's protected the protectors. And I want to talk to you about that today. And I can't think of a better passage of Scripture in all the Bible. And if you're a vet, I hope that sometime during your military service, you came across Psalm 91. I'd like to have you take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 91. Now, as you're turning, I would like, I don't know if you have active military as well. We want to thank you for present tense protecting us. And all of you veterans that stood in choir, you did a great job with that. And Brother Johnson, you do a good job leading music, man. You do a really good job. He was one of my preacher boys at college, and he did a lot better. He's doing a lot better than I thought he ever would. Amen. He's doing really good. Okay, if you are active military, you are serving right now in a branch of the military, reserves or whatever, would you stand for just a moment? Would you stand if you're serving active military? We've got a couple. All right. If you are a veteran, would you stand again? Would you just stand? We've honored you and recognized you. I want to talk to you all for just a moment that are standing right now. Every one of you men and women that are standing right now, we have, at this church, honored you today. And I think you know the genuine heart of your pastor in this church in thanking you. But I will tell you, every one of you that are standing, I think you also know there is someone you need to thank. That one who protected you, that you're in this auditorium right now. Some of you went through conflict. Some of you went through combat. Some of you did not. You all signed up to protect our country and our land, and we do thank you today. But there is somebody who protected every one of you. And that one who protected every one of you, we want to honor as well. Because he's the one that brought you home safely. He's the one that brought you into this auditorium, and we want to thank him as well. So you may be seated. Thank you, veterans, so much for what you've done. But today, we honor the one who protects the protectors. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to read Psalm 91 responsibly. I'm going to read verse 1. All of you together as a great, mighty congregation are going to read verse 2. I'll read verse 3. You'll read verse 4. We'll go all the way through it. We'll have a word of prayer. I want to tell you a story, and then I want to answer three questions. Who is your protection? Why do you need protection? And how do you get protection? From Psalm 91. Every one of you that are veterans, as we read through Psalm 91, I hope you can recall incidences that the Lord did this for you. And I think all of us, I know there's missionaries here today. I look at Steve, and I look at Billy, and I look at your families. I think every one of us that are in ministry can look back at Psalm 91 and say, wow, God, you have protected me. And I think if you're a child of God here today, you can go through Psalm 91 and say, God, you have been my refuge. You have protected me from spiritual battle and physical harm as well. So, together as a mighty congregation, would you read responsibly with me? Again, I'll read verse 1, you'll read verse 2, and we'll go that way. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Together, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that waiteth. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Together with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for being our dwelling place, our secret place. And Father, I do know that we're talking about physical battles and physical wars. But Father, through the spiritual warfare of our lives, you have been our secret place. Thank you for Jesus Christ, that Lord, when we have been attacked by Satan himself and all of his demons, that there has been a place of refuge, that there has been a city we've been able to run to. That city is Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask and pray today that the veterans that are here today would leave here knowing that Worth Baptist Church honors them and what they have done. But Lord, I pray that every vet would leave here today saying, oh, thank you, God, for your protection in my life. As I went to protect this land, you went with me to protect me. And then, Father, may all of us see that you are our refuge. That, Father, whatever's happening in our life, you are the one that we can run to. And I pray and ask, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts today. And you know, Lord, I just take a moment and pray for this week. And Lord, we realize that the rapture may come before tonight's service. But Father, if we're still all here on Wednesday morning, may we have experienced revival as a church. Lord, I ask that what we give tonight on prayer and what we say on Monday night about bitterness. And Lord, I don't know where you want me to go Tuesday night. But Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God will guide and direct this week. And may it be exactly what this church needs. And Father, as we start off with an encouraging message about your protection, I pray this week we'll experience comfort. I pray we'll experience conviction and that we will be challenged as well. Thank you, Lord, for the good spirit in this church. Thank you for the under-shepherd that you've brought. Lord, we also pray for Dr. Barber as he is ill and been sick. God, be with him, Lord. I don't know. I think he's in the hospital right now or whatever. But, Lord, I pray you'd give him physical healing and health. And God, be with Dr. Barber. What a dear friend that man is to me. And, Lord, I pray that you would just continue to be with him. We need to still hear his voice in America. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd be with him. God bless now this message. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Well, I did something when we bought our house in Pensacola. I have three boys, and I believe that a parent ought to be the greatest influence in their child's life. That's why God gave us those kids. I didn't expect sports, television, even the Christian school or the church to be a greater influence in my boy's life than me. So we did something when we got our house. We made our backyard as close to Disney World as we could do. First of all, we put a swimming pool in. That's the water park. We put a swimming pool in, put the slide in, the diving board in the pool. You know, we had three boys, so we said we're going to have... We wanted our boys to bring their kids down to our yard to play so I could watch them, you know. And so we had the pool. We had a trampoline. We had a wiffle ball baseball thing, and that would turn into football season. We had a little football field, and we painted the lines on the football field and everything like that. We had everything you could imagine in that backyard. So therefore, Every child in Norwood Subdivision wanted to go over to Pastor Shetler's house. And that's exactly what I wanted. I wanted the boys playing in the backyard and I could watch their friends. But on this one day, we had a little problem. It was the summer, that humidity, that heat. And you know, the boys had different days that they could have their friends over to the swimming pool. But on this one day, I don't remember whose day it was, but all three of the boys wanted their friends over. And I made that incredible mistake of allowing it to happen. Now let me just tell you, I have Ben, and Ben's my oldest. Ben was probably about 15 years of age when this happened, so we got teenagers. And I don't know, maybe he had 6, 8 friends over, maybe not that many, maybe about 4 or 5 friends over, and they were all 15. Then there's Luke. Luke's 3 years younger. So he was about 12 years of age, and he probably had 4 or 5 of his friends. And then there's Drew. Well, Drew was 6 years old, and he was about 9 years, or he is 9 years younger than Ben, so he's got his friends over. Well, let me tell you about, so there are probably 15 to 20 kids in the small swimming pool swimming, from 15 to 6, and the smallest kid in that entire pool is my son Drew. Now, he's the youngest of all the different groups, and then his group, I got to tell you about his group. His group consisted of a kid named Michael Getch. Today, Michael Getch is 6'6", 230, okay? The kid is huge. When he was 6, he was 6 foot. No, he wasn't that big. The kid was huge when he was a little kid. I mean, this kid is big. The only one bigger than him was a kid named Grant Tuma. Grant Tuma was as large as the Michael Getch kid. By the way, both these kids have gone on to play college basketball. They were huge. Then there was Adam Purcell. Adam Purcell was a bowling ball. I mean, the kid was just, he was just a blah, 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 blah. I mean, he was just a huge kid, and he was as wide as he was high. All right? Every one of Drew's friends were monsters. Now, you got Luke's friends, who are 12, you got Ben's friends, who are 15, and you got Drew. So Drew is the runt in the pool. That day, I'm out there mowing the lawn. And I'm watching, you know, and I'm mowing the lawn, and I'm watching 20 guys in that pool. And they play the stupidest game in the world. Marco Polo. Marco Polo, that is the stupidest game in the world. As if people really keep their eyes shut when they're doing that, you know. And they're playing Marco Polo. Well, my son is the one that's trying to find these kids all the time. I mean, he's the little guy, and he's the only one being honest, you know. And I'm mowing my lawn, I'm going, quit picking on my kid. Then they play, I don't know if this is a word, a stupider game, okay. Worse than Marco Polo, they start these chicken fights. And they start doing the chicken fights. Well, they don't put the 6-year-olds on the 15-year-old's shoulders. Oh, no. Oh, no. They put 15-year-olds on the 15-year-olds, 12-year-olds on the 12-year-olds, and 6 on the 6. So Drew is drowning in that pool. I mean, he's... And I'm mowing the lawn, and I'm going, hey, you guys! Hey, come on now! Come on! Come on, I'm mowing the lawn, and I'm going, man, oh, my kid's getting killed in there. And I said, that's it. That's it. Stop the lawnmower. I go in the house. I put on my swim trunks. I come out to the pool. Hey, guys. Hey, you mind if I jump in with you? Oh, yeah, Pastor Shetler, come on in. Yeah, man, come on in. Hey, so I jump in. I say, hey, what you guys doing? Hey, we're doing chicken fights. You want to play? Yeah, I'd like to play. That'd be good. I say, hey, Drew, come here. Now, you need to understand this. Just a moment ago, Drew was the most helpless, weakest kid in the pool. Drew has just become the strongest, more powerful kid in that swimming pool. He's on my shoulders now, and I say, okay, guys, let's do a little chicken fights, okay? And so the 12-year-olds come over, and Drew's up there going, yeah, Dad, go! And the kids go, oh, Pastor Shetler, Pastor Shetler. I said, what? What's wrong? What are you doing? Hey, that's just Drew doing it, man. That's just Drew, you know. Man, alive. So the 15-year-olds come over, you know. They come over like, hey, Pastor Shetler, I'll take it. Drew's beating on their head, you know. I'm getting on the ball. They come up. Hey, Miss Schiller, take it easy. You didn't have my son, you didn't take it easy. You know what? Drew was the runt. Now, I was going to tell you something. There was no place in the pool that Drew could have hid. It wasn't like, I got to find that secret place. I got to find that little place like underneath the slide thing where it goes. There was no place in that pool to hide. Drew didn't need a place. Drew needed a person. And I'll tell you who protected Drew in that pool was his Abba, his father. And I want you to see for just a moment Psalm 91. And I want you to see some truths from Psalm 91 that I learned that day about my son, Drew, on my shoulders. First of all, I want you to see this. The place of protection is not a place. It is a person. Did you ever notice this before? Look at verse 1. He that dwelleth or lodges in the secret place. You say, well, Brother Scheller, it doesn't sound like a person. It looks like a place to me. Hold on. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Could you take a little pen and draw a line over to verse 9? Now look at this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. So what, where, or who is the secret place? Look at verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, thy lodging. Same word, dwelleth. So who is the secret? What is the secret place? Where is the secret place? Wrong question. Who is the secret place? And the secret place is Jesus Christ. Now I want to tell you this. I got saved. I was telling the young people today, I had my spiritual birthday this past week. November 8th, 1969, I was on a church retreat in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was born and raised in a religious home, be good, do good, look good. Last night, for 2 hours plus, I was on a plane with a high priest. Bishop, elder, otherwise known as a Mormon. All right? His name was Kyle. And for 2 hours and 15 minutes, we talked about the differences between Mormonism and Christianity. Now, first of all, he says, well, I'm a Christian. I said, well, let's find that out, okay? And we talked about the differences between Mormonism and Christianity. And I told him at the end, I said, hey, listen, I was born and raised a Catholic. And after all this talk, and this is why we were coming in descending, I said, I want to tell you something, Kyle. There is really no difference between your Mormonism and what I grew up with as a Catholic. I said, Kyle, you have a religion that works yourself to God. But 44 years ago this past week, I got a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you what the secret place is. The secret place isn't the baptismal pool. The secret place isn't your church membership. The secret place is not your family, and the secret place is not the United States of America. The secret place is Jesus Christ. And what makes our faith is not a religion. It is a relationship with Christ. And 44 years ago, I realized I didn't have to go into a confessional booth and tell some man my sin any longer. I realized 44 years ago that Jesus Christ is my mediator between me and God, and that He brought it as a relationship. And if there's anything that I treasure, it is my relationship with Jesus Christ. What is that secret place, my friend? That secret place is your relationship with Him. And when you have the right relationship, my friend, you are protected. You know, it was all those kids in that swimming pool, there was one who was my son. And that's the one I went for. I didn't care about Adam Purcell. He could have drowned. I don't care. About Michael Guy, I don't care about Michael Guy. I don't care about Joel Porche. I don't care. You know who I care about? I care about my son, Drew. Because that's my boy in there. My boy's drowning right now. And he needs help. And I will tell you, when you have a relationship with your Father and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, He's going to be there when you're in trouble, man. If I'm going to put on my swim trunks to get into a stupid swimming pool, I guarantee your Heavenly Father is going to come into any situation that you're ever going to have, and He's going to be there for you. Who is your protection? I'll tell you who your protection is. It's Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you something else about protection. And I also think it is a great thing, Pastor, that you honor veterans. Because there is only one purpose for human government. And the purpose of human government is protection. Now you hear this. Now I know I'll get a big amen out of this because I'm preaching to the choir, but it's still so true. A French philosopher once said this: when a society believes that their government is a cow to be milked instead of a watchdog to be fed, that society is doomed. And you know what? Our government has taken on the wrong position. Our government is not for provision. Our government is for protection. And any government that thinks that their role is provision, that society is lost. Because that government becomes that God. Let me tell you the role of all authority given by God. The number one thing, moms and dads, you hear this. Pastoral staff, you hear this. That the number one goal of all authority is protection. So the very fact that we honor veterans today, we are honoring what God instituted government for. It is a good thing that we honor veterans. It is a good thing that we honor the military because that's what the government's supposed to do. It's supposed to protect us. By the way, the number one goal of these men on this platform right now is to protect you from the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's their number one goal, is to protect you and say, you know what, we're not going to do that kind of music. No, we're not going to let those kind of standards. No, we're not going to do that. Do you realize that protection is the number one goal of all authority? Moms and dads, your number one job is not to be your kid's best friend. Your number one job is to be your children's protector. And you have no greater goal. You have no greater purpose on this earth. The reason why God gave you those children were to protect them. Now, I know some of you teenagers right now are saying, you could stop right about now, Brother Scheller. It would be fine. You know what? I do understand that, young person. Believe me. I've given my life to teenagers. And I do understand that when you become 15, 16 years of age, you know, the last thing you really want is protection. I understand that. But you do need to know this, young person, that you are in this incredible time called adolescence. You are no longer a child. That is true. But you are not yet an adult either. And there does have to be a balance between privilege and responsibility. Don't get me wrong. And I'm with you, young people on that, and parents, I'm with you on that. But I do want you to know that your mom and dad will stand at the judgment seat on how they protected you. So if they believe that that young man is not good for you, whether or not you know things about that young man that your mom and dad do not, does not matter. Your mom and dad's job, your mom and dad's responsibility, and what your mom and dad are standing accountable to God one day for is how they protect you. And by the way, moms and dads, there will come a day that your child will come back and thank you for protecting me. You know, when I was 17, oh, Dad, I so despised what you put on us. But you know what? Now at 27, 37, 47, wow, Dad, thanks for your protection. And moms and dads, protection is the number one thing. Matter of fact, let me just go on this for just a minute. This is such an interesting historical fact. After the captivity, Israel came back to Jerusalem in three ways. The first guy who brought back people to Jerusalem was a king named Zerubbabel. Can you all say that? Zerubbabel. I like that name. Zerubbabel. Okay. He comes back to Jerusalem. He brings a large delegation after the captivity back to Jerusalem. And you know what they do? They rebuild the temple. I mean, this is cool. They rebuild this temple. And you know what happened after they rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem? Nothing. Nothing happened. Matter of fact, they really had a hard time. They had to bring in a cheerleader named Haggai to say, hey, come on, guys, let's get going on this thing. Your houses are built. You haven't rebuilt the temple yet. Well, the old people, by the way, this is good to hear. The old people put a damn blanket on everything. Doesn't look like Solomon's. Doesn't look like it used to. So the young people go like, well, there's no use doing this then. By the way, that's important. Older folks in here, you encourage those young people to go forward. You encourage, don't be a, what, well, we've seen the glory days around Worth Baptist. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. And you should be telling the next generation, the best days of this church are still ahead, are still in front. So anyways, Zerubbabel came back, they rebuilt the temple, and what happened? Nothing. Well, there's a reason for that, Brother Shelley. They needed a preacher. And that's what happened. The next group comes with the preacher. His name is Ezra. And Ezra brings a delegation. Now they got a preacher and now they got a temple. And guess what happened? Nothing. No revival. Nothing happened. But they got the temple. They got the church. Yeah. And they got the pastor. Yeah. And nothing happened. You listen to this. This is so cool. There's a third guy who comes back. His name is, anyone know? Nehemiah. Woo. Nehemiah. Nehemiah comes. Nehemiah comes back to Jerusalem, and what does he do? He rebuilds the walls so that the city is protected. And now that the walls are protected, whoa, man, guess what happens?
An unusual place, a place called Watergate.
At a place called Watergate in Jerusalem, Israel has a revival. They didn't after the temple was built. They didn't after the preacher came. They did after the walls of protection were put up. I'll tell you right now at West Coast, I got to tell you, there is a spirit of revival in that student body. And I'm going to tell you the main reason. Oh, because, man, they got all kinds of preachers there. I'll tell you the number one reason why there's a spirit of revival going on at West Coast right now is because there's walls of protection in those kids' lives from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it is in the bounds of protection that you'll see revival. I want to tell you, authority, your job is to put up the walls of protection. Your job. And you know what? Well, who's going to protect me? Psalm 91 says the Lord will protect you. He'll be your secret place. He'll be your protection as you protect others. Who is your protection? It's the Lord. Why do you need protection? The battle. Look at verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. There's a battle going on. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. How many of you vets that were just stood up a minute ago, you don't have to stand up again. How many of you vets would say with an upraised hand, you were in some kind of conflict or combat? Would you raise your hand? How many? Do we have some? Okay, we've got some. Do we have anyone from World War II? I was just wondering. Do we have any World War II? We do, okay? We got some back there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm 91 should be true for you guys. Psalm, the protection during the battle. Well, let me tell you this. We're in a battle. And our battle is spiritual, and there is a warfare going on. If there is one thing, when I preach at camps and I speak to young people, that there is, they have no clue what's going on. The average 15-year-old girl has no concept the spiritual battle that's going on over her soul. And I will tell you, moms and dads, there is warfare going on over your marriage and over your home. There is a battle going on in this culture and in this society. There is a fight going on, and we need protection from the world. Look what it says in verse 4. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Once Drew was put on my shoulders, he wasn't afraid of anybody in that pool. There was nobody in that pool that bothered him. There was no one in that pool that could bring him down. And I tell you, when we get on the shoulders of our Father, and we trust in our Lord as our protection, he will carry us through the battle. Now, continuing on, look at this. Verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow by day, nor for the pestilence. Look at verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee. Brother Shepherd, is that somewhere else in Scripture? It is. Anyone in here know who quotes this later in Scripture? You know? Does anyone know who quotes this later in Scripture? You know who it is? Satan. Satan quotes this verse later in Scripture. And this is interesting. Oh, this is so Satan. He quotes it to who? Jesus Christ. And he quotes it to tempt Jesus. He's quoting the verse to tempt Jesus to do wrong. He says, hey, Jesus, go ahead and jump from here. The angels will take charge of you. But do you know what Satan does? Oh, man, he does this all the time. He does not quote the entire verse. He only quotes the first part of the verse. Hey, Jesus, remember now, you jump from this steep here. You can jump from this mountain. For he shall give his angels charge over thee. But he didn't quote the rest of the verse. To keep thee in all thy ways. And that's when Jesus says, we tempt not God. We should not tempt the Lord thy God. You see what it is? To keep thee in all thy ways. Now, this is an important part about our protection message today. You got to be in the will of God. You got to be doing what you're supposed to be doing to get this protection. In other words, you step out of the will of God, there is still a care of the Lord, but he may let you experience some of those consequences out there. So that you can see, God, I need to be under your protection. It is so interesting that Satan does not quote that last part. To keep thee in all thy ways. Yes, the angels will give charge over thee. You know what? I'm sure Steve Vellante, I'm sure Billy Patterson could stand up and give stories on the mission field of protection. They could claim Psalm 91. I've heard stories from Steve of things that have happened, that God has protected them. Well, let me tell you something. That's because they're in the center of the will of God. And when you're in the center of the will of God, you are invincible. You have God's omnipotence around you. Why do you need protection? Because of the battle. Who is your protection? It's Jesus Christ. But how do you get this protection? I think it starts by being where you're supposed to be. And look now down at verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me. Now, everything changes in the psalm up to this point. In verses 1 through 13, we find, this comfort that is given. But now in 14, 15, and 16, we find the condition for the protection. And now, in verses 1 through 13, it's the psalmist who's talking. And the psalmist is saying, well, he's my secret place, he's this. But now in verse 14, 15, and 16, it's God who is speaking. The Lord is speaking to this one that he's been protecting. In verse 14, it says this, because he, that would be the psalmist from verses 1 through 13, because he has set his love upon me, that would be God, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now I want to encourage you with this. You leave here today, you can know God will take care of you. By the way, what about the time of trouble for temptation? You cry out to God. God, I need help right now. Lord, I need your comfort. I need to know that you're here right now. Father, I need to know your presence. Let me tell you a story. By the way, this here, did you notice all the I wills? Will I deliver him? I will set on high upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him. I will deliver him. I will satisfy him with my salvation. Do you notice kind of there? Do you know what my life verse? Well, I'm not going to tell you my life verse yet. I got to tell you what happened. About a year and a half after we got to Santa Maria, well, I got to tell you, it wasn't what we thought it was going to be like. And we didn't realize that protection was going to be the number one thing. Protection for my family, protection for my soul, for protection. And you know what? We've said this. And our church has heard, my church heard me say this. If we would have known what First Baptist Santa Maria was like before we got there, we would have never came. But I think God blinded us because God knew that's where he wanted us. And God was going to be our secret place. And God was going to be our protection. Well, after about a year and a half, things were not going the direction, and we were not near where I thought we should be. And I got to tell you, between my wife and I, we were ready to leave. And I felt our marriage was strained. I felt that my boys were struggling. I felt that we were just, man, I just felt that we were being attacked. And I just said, you know what? We didn't come out here for this. This isn't what we came out here for, as if we're going to give conditions to God, you know? Some of you veterans know, like, hey, this isn't what I signed up for, you know, after about halfway through boot camp, you know? But you're there now. You're in God's will, all right? And so but I was struggling. Well, some different situations came up, and I thought, you know, this is it. I'm leaving. And I knew that if I went back and I said, Marilee, we were living on the property there, which probably was another problem with the thing, but we couldn't get away from anything. In the middle of the night, people were knocking on our door there at the missionary home and everything like that. We lived there for 3 years, and that was a difficulty. But I knew that if I went home and said, Marilee, we're leaving, she said, I got the suitcase packed already. Let's go. You know, I mean, we were really struggling there, especially about in a year and a half. And I remember one morning, I came into work. Some more things came in. By the way, me even saying that, it was never work to me. It was always a ministry to me. And it became a drudgery. So I came into work, and some things came up, and I said, you know what? That is it. I am done. About that time, my secretary gave me a call, and she said, Pastor, Angelica is out here. She wants to talk to you. Oh. That's the last person I want to talk to right now. Now, you got to know Angelica. She's probably like the best Mexican cook I have ever met in my entire life. Angelica was always positive, but Angelica's one of those people that you cannot give a minute to. You know, when she says, I just need you for a minute, you're talking about the next hour and a half. And I'm going like, no, not Angelica. She is really positive, and I really like her, and she's the best Mexican cook I've ever known in my entire life. But I just don't want to see Angelica right now. I said, no, not right now. I just can't meet with Angelica. Well, she really wants to talk to you. And I said, no, I don't think so. I just tell her no. Well, Angelica, I should have known, doesn't take no for an answer. Angelica waits till lunchtime in my office, in the reception area. I don't know that, though. One thing after another happened. I'm ready to leave. I am telling you, I'm going home at lunch, and I'm telling Marilee, we're done here. I am through here, and we are leaving. I know it's only been a year and a half. I really believe God called us here, but I was wrong. I'm out of here. I leave for lunch to go home to tell my wife that I'm leaving and that we're leaving. I come through the office, and there's Angelica sitting there. I said, what are you doing, Angelica? She said, I got to talk to you. And I said, Angelica, I'm going home for lunch right now. Can this wait? No. I got something in my devotions for you this morning. And I said, Angelica, you got something in your devotions for me. Yes. The Lord told me to give you a verse. I said, okay, Angelica, walk with me over to the Haven. Come on, let's walk. I'm going home to lunch. I'll walk with you. Talk to me.
So we're walking over. I figured that'll end it then. She's only got a period of time that she can talk to me. So we're walking through the parking lot, and I said, so what do you got, Angelica? God gave me a verse today for you. And I said, okay, what's the verse, Angelica? Isaiah 41:10. What verse did God give you today? Isaiah 41:10. Angelica, do you know that that's my life verse? No. But God gave it to me today and said, you need to have this verse today. Isaiah 41:10. Yep. You know it? Yeah, I know it really well. That's my life verse. She said, it is? Well, for whatever reason, you need this verse today. I said, thank you, Angelica. I go home. I said, Marilee, I came home to tell you we were leaving. Yeah! We're not. Oh! Angelica. What did Angelica do? She gave me my life's verse. Oh, no. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It's just about exactly what Psalm 91:14, 15, and 16 is. I will take care of you. I will do this. You know what, Jim? You just get on my shoulders, and I'll carry this. I'll take care of this. And I just want to tell you, folks, there is a protection for us as children of God. You find Him as that secret place. You find that relationship in Jesus Christ, and you set your love upon Him, and you call upon Him, and I will satisfy you, and I will take care of you, and I will protect you. Every vet could stand this morning and give testimony. You know what? Even if you're here today and you're a guest and you don't even know Christ is your Savior, come on, vet. You could say, you know what? God did protect me, man. There's no question. God was there. He protected me. By the way, Brother Scheller, I could tell you stories. You wouldn't even believe how God protected me. By the way, the majority of us in here, if not all of us in here, could say God has been my protection. God has protected me in car accidents. God has protected me through cancer. God has protected me. He has been my safety and my secret place. Well, then, my friend, I will tell you, you set your love on Him, and you see that no matter what's happening financially, no matter what's happening physically, God can be your refuge. Veterans, you better be thanking the Lord who's protected you. We thank you today for protecting us, but you ought to be thanking God for protecting you. And church members at Worth Baptist, know that Christ is, will be, and has been your protection. And my friend, can I tell you this? If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, it is not a place. It is a person. And you ask Christ to be your Savior. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You know, this is kind of a different kind of invitation. This is kind of an invitation of thanksgiving in a sense. Maybe this morning you do need protection. Right now your family's being battled and being attacked. Right now there's things going on in your life that you need God's help. Well, then you know what? I'm going to encourage you to come down and kneel down and pray and say, God, right now our marriage, our life, our business, my home needs your protection. God, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. I'll get up on your shoulders, but God, I need you. Maybe you need to come down to this altar this morning and just say thank you to God. To just say, God, you have been my dwelling place over these years. Lord, when I served in the military, you were there. And God, I just want to thank you for your protection in my life. Maybe you're a believer today, that you would just say, you know, I've never been in the military, but I will tell you, God has been my protection. Maybe just as a thanks to Him. And if you're here today, my friend, and you're looking for that place of protection from hell's fire, if you're looking for that protection for everlasting life. It is not found in a church. It is not found in good deeds. It's found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you to do something. If you have never found protection for your soul, I encourage you to do what I did 44 years ago this past week. Now, I was only 12. And the older you get, the harder it is to do this. But I encourage you, if you do not know where your soul will spend in eternity, that you would put your faith in Jesus Christ to protect your soul for eternity in heaven. That you would receive Christ as your personal Savior. I'm going to ask that you would walk down an aisle, shake pastor's hand and say, hey, I want to get saved. I want to know that my soul is on its way to heaven. If you're here today and you're a believer and you just say, man, I just need to get on his shoulders, Jim. I just need to get up on his shoulders. Will you come down and kneel down and just say, God, I need protection? Some of you need to come down and say thank you for a life of protection that he's given to you. Let's stand to our feet, and as we begin to sing the hymn of invitation, God will take care of you. What a great one. Andrew's going to come. I think you all know that. As we begin to sing, if God's spoken to your heart, you come.